is the Levels Podcast. I'm Justin Horo, a.k.a. The Horoscope. Joined by Widemu Mason, a.k.a. Triple OG. Mace.
What's happening?
It's that time of the week, brother. Mm. It's around 25 preview time, but more importantly, we're off to NZ tomorrow, bro.
Yeah, I'm pumped. It's come around quick. Like the whole year's come around quick.
It's gone
pretty
quick.
We're doing round one, and I'm like, wow, it's 25 now. So time flies, man, when you're having fun especially. Yeah, but New Zealand, I'm pumped. We're coming.
Yeah.
Finally.
I'm pumped to get over to New Zealand in this capacity. Like, just went to holidays there over in Queenstown, but been talking about it for a minute, obviously, getting over there. It's round 25, man. Like, considering, like, how we quickly scrimmaged to get everything going, like, to start off and make sure we got ready for round one in a short space. Massive thank you's got to go, obviously, to our partners, Tab and BSC, who've been a part of the journey, but also the followers as well, you know, the subscribers, the people that comment. YouTube questions have been a hit. Got a couple more that are related to our trip over in New Zealand, but it's been a crazy old year.
Why do you think people like they're fucking with us? Why do you think it's become so popular? Because I was like, I knew that we'd be doing a good job at the start. Like, we quite smart. We were having some good stuff last year, good content. I'm like, will it? Like, I was never not confident that it wouldn't pop off, but I didn't expect it to go like crazy, really, really quick.
I'd say number one is our consistency.
Right.
Okay. That's a big part. If you look at, you know, obviously Kempy and Hello Sports and the other guys in our area, those guys have been doing it for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, they stick to it. They've been doing it consistently. I got advice off Kempy when I first started doing this. So shout out again to Bloke and just watching the boys, how they do their thing. Jammer on the buy round.
Yeah.
It's got consistency. So all of us in that space that have been consistent, I think people respond to that. They know what to expect. You can build that community like we're trying to build with the fitness side of what we're going to do on our Michele Ravalawa, Strava. That's the closest we got. Sorry, it's a shit one. We were just discussing it before. But Mace, I'd just like everyone again to get in levelsnetwork.com.au. The Dallas hoodies, they're about to drop. Well, they're over their samples at the moment. Lukey, what do you got for us? Pardon?
8 weeks minimum.
8 weeks. Oh, I was going to say four. So 8 weeks.
We're doing it properly, people.
Yep. We're making sure they're the Mickey. So continue to register your email for updates. We'll give you early access to everyone who's in there. So make sure you sign up so you don't miss out when we drop collection one.
You're mad.
What about subscribers, Mace? 14.7, about 300 per week at the moment. So obviously super grateful. The gratitude continues for all our followers. But we are chasing. Let's get 15K by next week.
I think after our New Zealand trip, we'll get that.
Yeah, New Zealand trip will go up, but we're chasing 20K subscribers. And I thought I'd chuck this in as well. I think we're on about 17,500 followers on Instagram.
What are we doing for TikTok? Even though, like, I don't have TikTok or anything. We're a fair bit there.
42.
Aren't we? 42.
42 on TikTok.
Damn. 42. Do you have TikTok?
No. Oh, I do, but I'm not active. But Lukey
down. Lukey loves TikTok.
Lukey puts all our stuff on TikTok.
You got mad dances and stuff.
and so those are big numbers. I'll tell you what's a massive number on our Michaela. 150 already. 150 of the best in our Levels Network Strava community.
Shit.
So people were keen. We're not going to fuck around and tease all that for that long. We just want to nail down what we're going to do. We'll probably have all the details for you ready to go properly next week with regards to who's on board. We want to collab with people in the fitness industry, gyms in the fitness industry. So I just want to put it all together. But what I want to do is just get the community going first.
Yeah.
So as soon as we got all the information ready to go, because we've got a plan in our head, we can put it all out. It'll be done by next week. There you go. There's a guarantee.
Oh, that's mad. 150 already.
150.
Do I have to have a Strava thing?
Yeah, for sure if you want it.
I need a Garmin watch.
It's
that
good for me.
That looks cool. And it's like, I did have a little Fitbit and then I sort of knew exactly what, I think about 2-3 years, and I sort of knew exactly how many steps I was taking a day and roughly and how many calories I was burning, all that kind of stuff. So sort of kept me accountable for 2 or 3 years, but this, whatever the hell this Strava is, I only found out what Strava was a week ago, right? Mm. Not even that. That's fucking
2 days
brilliant.
Ago.
It's brilliant.
When we come in on Monday.
It's brilliant, right?
Well, it's awesome. It just so gives.
But if I'm going to be part of it, I need it, right?
Well, you just said the main word, accountable.
Yeah.
It keeps you accountable.
And I can't just say that I'm doing it and they're going to believe me, right?
Well, also, with their mates or whatever, you can see, even if you're not communicating with a mate who might be getting after it, you might just go on Strava every now and again. So, for instance, just say I play golf, right? Mm. I put my golf score into my watch as well. This is the best. This is not even an ad. I'm not even sponsored by Garmin, but if you want to reach out, give Triple OG a watch, more than welcome. But it's got golf. I did the run swim at Clay Valley this morning. So
how many laps you do?
5.
That's mad. The long one?
Yeah, 5 of the best.
Yeah, that's good.
They're about, I think they're
70-meter swim.
Yeah, 70-meter swim. I think they're about 600-meter laps all up, all together. So in and out of the water. So it's got my swim, it's got my golf, it's got my run, it's got my gym session that we did.
Well, that's mad because a Fitbit is like I pretty much get steps.
Okay.
And like it was a real thin one, so I didn't really want to – I don't really like a real bulky one because I got to train. So when I'm at Bulldogs training, I used to wear it then. Then it was breaking off because I was holding pads and stuff like that. But, yeah, I need the Garmin, I think.
Yeah, the Garmin's and the Mickey. So, Garmin, if you want to reach out. I wonder if Garmin is an Australia or a New Zealand brand or overseas. I'm not too sure. Well, they want to be fucking Levels Network, I tell you what, because this community is going to be pumping. So go jump in the Levels Network Community Club on Strava. 150 of the best. It's just growing at the moment. When we do all this sort of stuff, when we get into the Strava and when we start getting into what we're going to be doing, this is going to be a big part of what we're doing. Obviously, BSC.
They got some new products coming. I spoke to the big dogs this morning. So they got some big products. I'm not going to announce it now, but like when we start our level stuff, they'll be on board and they'll have new products. When he explained it to me, I'm like, how the fuck did you come up with this? So it'll be a game changer.
Speaking of game changers, the protein shake, ready to drink vanilla and chocolate shakes, whether you need a quick hit of protein to help you refuel after a tough workout or breakfast on the go. Currently available in Coles online at bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. These are the Mickey Mace. I had these after the race as well. Quick way of just getting something into you in the car on the drive home. Everyone
today, Bulldog Shane. It's good.
Yep. So shout out to our partners, Body Science. Our other partners, The Tab, The Great Sport Debate. Let's get into it, Mace. The nation's great debate on what is Australia's national sport. With obviously, we're filming this on a Wednesday, 3 p.m. The Tillies are playing tonight. Everyone's pumped. So therefore, obviously, they're killing it on the votes at the moment. Soccer, 40%. AFL, 26.9%. Shout out to the Shep mates. They must have got their crew behind them. So we need our crew at Levels Network to pump it up because your pick, cricket, is in third place at the moment, mate, with 17%. And little old Kiddies Rugby League sitting in 10. Fourth. We're better than that.
Yeah. Why do you think, like I've been looking at the amount of people watching the Matildas and everything like that, like 6.1 million. And like, why do you think that? I think we've had a discussion before. Is it the timing? Is it because we've had a little bit of a gap in the AFL after Origin when everyone's just really looking for semi-finals, right? No one gives a shit viewing-wise about like, unless you're a purist, right, like us.
Yep.
You're just probably just sitting back going, oh, we'll just wait for the finals. Then I'll watch the footy where this team's doing, it's our national team, the women are doing great and it's just the perfect timing. They're killing it. They're beating the Frenchies. Hopefully they beat the Poms. And we just get so patriotic when it comes to our sports, right? So we just fucking watch it.
A couple of things I think plays a big part, right? So I think you've got almost all demographics because you've got obviously the, you know, majority of males just love sport. You chuck sport on.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying. Aussies just love it.
We're going to be pumping sport out, Aussies and Kiwis. Then you got obviously because it's the women's.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of the women's and children that have got involved with it before.
Soccer like mums.
Some of these, a lot of soccer mums out there. But a lot of kids, you know, the stories
that are great. Well, it's the most popular game under 15, right, as a junior. Soccer is.
Yeah.
Bigger than AFL, cricket, everything. So the participation is number one soccer. Obviously, after that, they start spreading out everywhere else.
Yeah. So then you've got obviously girls who or young girls that might not have had because soccer's a world sport, I think having it in our own country for sure at the right times to watch it plays a big part as well. And then also I think more the main thing, Australia loves an underdog.
We fucking win it.
And we've been an underdog. We've been, you know, fifth, sixth favourite at the start of the competition.
Yep.
Australia's best player, Sam Kerr, was injured for the entire format of the qualifications to get into the last 16. She plays limited minutes in the final 16. She plays a little bit in the she starts in the quarterfinal, and hopefully she's humming in the semi-final and she can score a goal for the Tillies and get the job done. So I can understand
so
why
good
soccer
for women's
40%,
sport,
isn't it?
So, it's so good for like soccer sport, not soccer, women's soccer. It's massive, right? Especially if we win. Imagine participation, everyone's trying to be Sam Kerr.
Oh, it'd be flying.
It's fucking tits,
right? It'd be flying. Football, soccer, the soccer variety of football will be flying at the moment in Australia, because in men's and women's, because it's just all the rage at the moment.
Awesome,
and you're right, we're going through a little bit of a softening period before we get into the finals for both AFL and NRL.
Regardless.
World Cup's just around
when
the corner.
You're getting 6 mil.
For rugby.
6 mil. Oof.
That's outstanding.
Great work.
And then at the end of the day, the quality of the game's been solid enough for obviously everyone to tune in and get behind them as well. Damn. So speaking of getting behind them, let's get behind this first YouTube question. This is from Dallas Cardon. Hoddle and Triple OG, weekly listener on Spotify, huge fan, not a question, but would be grateful for a shout out of my local league football club, the Ivanhoe Knights, playing up in Cairns in far north Queensland Rugby League. It's our 100th year anniversary of the club. We've rounded out the regular season as minor premiers, going straight off to the prelim with the first week off. We currently have the great Josh Dugan lacing up the boots for us at fullback, up the red, white and blue. So shout out to the Knights, Ivanhoe Knights. Shout out to Dugs, one of the best.
Todd Carney play for that team?
Nah, Toddy's at Ballina. He's
okay,
in Byron.
Okay, I thought but he played in Cairns one time, remember?
Did he? Oh,
yeah.
Yes. No, I don't think
that's
it was.
That's not it? When the Roosters, he was going through some stuff before he got to the Roosters, and he was up in Cairns. I'm not sure.
Let us know in the comments if that's where Toddy as well played. He's working at a pub. This is before we end up linking with him in Catalans, right?
Yeah.
And before he went on that historic run or that really strong run with the Roosters.
Yeah, the
Dally M.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dugs.
Yeah, they love their footy up in Cairns, man. Hey, Dugs, what's the must be just fucking around up there.
Well,
he just doesn't
point.
Want to, I mean, like, he just did he retire from the NRL? Like, he's not getting a gig. Like, he's like,
no, he retired.
I think
the
he
year
just
four. So he would
how
have played.
How old's Dugs, man?
Dugs would be 33, 34.
Mad underrated, Dugs. Dugs 2017-18.
Dugs was
in
a
his
dog.
Prime, bro. Like, he was the man.
Dugs was a dog. He was just banged up. He started so early. He's one of those guys that started so early and finished probably a little bit earlier. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at the Cody Walkers of the world, like, Cody Walker's 33, 34 now, but he started when he's like 26, 27, right? So you don't have those bangs, those continuous bangs as a kid, where he's just like the Toddy Carneys of the world, Mitchy Pierce's of the world, Josh Dugan's of the world. They started like 17, 18.
Yeah.
Well, how old are you when you started, Mace?
18.
18?
18, 19,
fuck. And you played all the way to fucking
36, yeah. Too much fun.
Fucking hell. Another one too. You know what they love in New Zealand, mate? They love their pies. Robert Heke. So he's been he's a big fan. He's always in the comments. Super random, but you need to do a New Zealand versus Aussie pie discussion. Nothing hits better for Kiwis going back home and getting right into a New Zealand pie.
All right. Have you been to Yatla pies?
No.
Well, ask any Brisbane person, any Queenslander. Show us in the comments. They reckon Yatla pies. I've been there before.
The Mickey?
It is ridiculous.
In Brizzy?
Yeah. It's just near, it's sort of in between the Gold Coast and Brisbane, right?
Okay.
We went to army camp and we didn't eat for 3 days.
Yeah.
And we went to Yatla pies. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe that's why
anything,
I tasted so
but
good.
I've been to Yatla before. I mean, to Yatla after, and I'm like, this is the real deal.
Yeah. Okay.
So I reckon anyone who's claiming pies and all that kind of shit, I'm not a massive pie man, but like that's probably the best pie in Australia, I reckon.
When I was in Queenstown, I did Snacking with the Skip. It's a new little segment that I'll do, just posting up. So for all the punters over there, for all the L1s, all the L1 communities, let us know where we go for a pie. Where's the best pie in Auckland while we're there? Because we're there for 4 or 5 days. So me and Mace will get around and you'll snack with the Skip.
You're a proud Kiwi boy.
Yeah.
But like, is New Zealand or Australia more famous for pies?
New Zealand.
Is it New Zealand?
Oh,
right.
Fuck
yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah.
Have you not had pie in New Zealand before?
Not like, really.
I don't think you have, because you would know.
Yeah, I'm not
one
like,
thing we do well, fish and chips, obviously.
Yeah, like, but like
grouse,
but you look at Australia, like, we sort of same sort of culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always say like, oh, we've got
the
best pies.
No, the pastry's different.
Right.
The pastry's so softer. Like, even having eaten the Ferg Burger back there, the meat's is like, you know, just because of our farming industry, because,
yeah,
you know,
mad.
It's so much better. The meat just tastes that
different
much better
grass,
over
man.
There. Oh, it's the grouse. Did you
butter's
the
better.
The butter's better.
Butter's mad.
The butter and the bread's fucking grouse. Did you mention the Broncos before? Because they re-signed Payne Haas.
Ah!
First topic. The NRL's most in-demand man, Payne Haas, will remain a Bronco. That is according to News Corp, who reports superstar prop has inked a three-year extension worth $3.5 million. Mace, they got the man.
Yeah.
It was reported that all 16 clubs, even yours, Mace, were interested in his services, as well as rugby union franchise Western Force, who jumped on late. While the signing of Haas increases the Broncos' premiership window until 2027, there are concerns on whether they can keep their team intact. But does that matter, Mace? Fullback Reece Walsh and swinger Selwyn Cobbo are just a couple that go off contract at the end of 2025, with Adam Reynolds and Kurt Capewell, two players who have current contracts that end in 2024. Mace, they got their man. Broncos did a great job. The management of Payne did a great job. They got an extra $3
million
on top of what was just proposed a week ago. You obviously Bulldogs were in talks. Every team was in talks. You weren't doing your due diligence if you weren't reaching out to
him. If you're not trying to have a crack at him or Tino, if they were both off the market for feeder, everyone would have been having a go. And we were one of those teams. I've had conversations with Payne Haas, and it'd be hard for him to leave Brisbane, right?
Mm.
He's a junior there. He's been up there. He's been involved with the club since he was, I think he's been contracted since he was 14, right?
Yep.
So he's a prodigy from day dot. When you're at a club like the Broncos and you can taste victory around the corner, you've been through the shit like the last, say, 4 years, and you haven't made the eight, and then you've got potential to win stuff, you're going to stay. You know what I mean? You're going to stay and try and finish your job. 3 more years, I reckon, he's backing himself to win a competition up there. If it's not this year, it's next year. You know, he's come through the system with the Carrigans, the Fleglers, and that pretty much that whole squad there's probably about 10 of them come through the same system. And I can only sort of just go back to when I was at the Dogs. I'm like, we wanted to win something. You want something out of it.
Yeah,
you know, you come through the system and you're like, I'm not fucking leaving this club till I win.
Too much talent in this
too
room.
Much talent. I said, for him to leave the Brisbane Broncos and go to a team, just say if you're coming to us, you know what I mean? Like we're rebuilding. They're there already.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
He's been rebuilding for 3 years.
West Tigers, yeah, he's gone through the rebuild. He don't want to rebuild anymore. He wants to fucking win. He's got that team there now. And, I congratulate him and his management. He's a great kid. He's going to be 27 when he comes off contract. So he's still going to be in his prime. He's still a baby. So he can get another 5 years after that. Easy, max deal. So well done to Payne Haas. You know, any team would have loved to have him. Great human. Great player, you can build your team around him, right?
Next deal could be 27. He could sign for another 3 years for 1.5 per year. That's 4.5 million per year. Congrats to Payne. Congrats to Kevy. Congrats to the Broncos. I said for a while there, I thought he was going to leave based off coaching, but whatever job that, obviously the results speak for itself.
Yeah.
But he's done a great job. Kevy, it was the one little concern that I had in being able to keep him. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. You've got to admit, you've got to take your licks. They've done a great job at rebuilding this roster.
Yep.
Full credit to, everyone from Ben Eichen, who was there before, the recruitment. You look at guys like I mentioned before, Reece Walsh, who's on a very club-friendly deal because of his situation from leaving to the Warriors. That's going to have to be addressed. So they've got a couple of big decisions coming up, Mace, and I had something ready for us to do, but we've got so much to speak about in this episode. I think now that they've signed Payne, Paddy Carrigan, what's the chances of them being able to keep Reece Walsh, Selwyn Cobbo, Adam Reynolds and Ezra Mamm in the next 2 years? It's going to be really tough, right?
It's tough, right?
Do you think almost it's going to come down to, I dare say now, despite what Reynolds has obviously been able to do for this club, Reece would be the priority?
Yes.
They don't want him to get to 2025 and then be going through this. I dare say an extension for Reece will be coming maybe in the off season or early next year before it even gets to this. And then you've got to come down. They've got a big decision with Adam Reynolds and Ezra Mamm. Can you keep both of them?
I'm thinking Ezra Mamm can play seven.
Mm. Reynolds in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think he's learning so much there. I think he's an attacking seven. He kicks. He's got all the intangibles to be a good seven. You know what I mean? Like he's a running seven. He kicks good. He hits hard. You know what I mean? He does that. I don't think it would be that hard for him to play seven. Reynolds is going to be what, 34 when he comes off?
Yep.
Does he want to keep playing? If he gets a competition, he's already run a comp. Does he want to keep playing? Like, does he? You know, does he want to travel? Does he want to retire? Like, he's going to end up, you know, probably playing 300 games pretty soon. I reckon played a fair bit of footy, man.
I reckon Wren could potentially maybe extend for one more year to the at least. So if he's done in 2024, yeah, no, I reckon Wren will try to extend for another couple of years.
Yeah, he could, especially if you're winning and you're in a great culture there.
And you've got Payne and Paddy locked up.
Yeah.
Makes and his job a lot
losing
easier.
Flegler. I know Flegler's like, him and Herbie are gone, so that's going to probably have about 1.6 on the cap.
Well, your boy Hunter Mariner is going to go in the centres next year. He looks a real player for him.
Yeah, so he's got these guys on pretty cheap. There's a lot of guys in contract like the Rickies and stuff like they're not on big dollars.
Yeah.
So, but they're all coming off in the next 2 or 3 years. So it's very important who they do sign. But their big one was Payne Haas.
And they got it. They got
the next one is Reece Walsh.
Yep.
And they've got to get Reece Walsh, you know, all the back rowers and all that kind of stuff. They got, you know, Kurt Capewell and Ricky and – you know, they're replaceable.
I can see a world in which Selwyn Cobbo becomes collateral damage.
Yeah.
Because I can't there was obviously Chatty comes through the grades as a fullback. Mm. He probably has aspirations, and I can see a club reaching out for sure if he was to become available and giving him the one jersey and giving him one money, like fullback money.
Yeah, he'll be wanting that because, you know, I think wingers' money has gone up, right?
Yeah.
You're the best winger capped. In the world. You're going to get 700 or something like if you're –
depending on the
if you're Brian Toto. Yeah. If you're Brian Toto, I'm paying Brian Toto 700.
See, I don't even reckon Toto would be on
700. I know, but I'm paying him. If he's on the open market, I don't think he stayed for that much.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he's on open market. Tigers, Bulldogs, lower teams, they're paying him a shitload of money because of what he's doing. The wingers' work rate has gone up. Play twos have become so important to getting sets off to a good start. They've probably jumped the centres, I think.
Yep.
Unless you're a Katoni Staggs and stuff like that. But if you're the best winger in the world, you're getting some solid cash. I think the guys like, remember Bradman Best and old mate from Lomax, yeah?
Yep.
When they signed a couple of years ago, massive deals. I think that sort of put everyone off. They were young kids thinking the whole world's at their feet. Didn't really deliver till like probably Bradman Best this year, right?
Yeah.
And he's on 800.
Yeah.
A lot of money, man.
Yeah, you're right. It's
So I think that sort of... The wingers and centres, they're not too far off, man.
The centre market reminds me a bit of the running back market in the
NFL. Yes, I was just about to say.
In the NFL, right?
Do you know, like you're going to have a right centre, you just want him to make tackles. You want a great defensive right centre because everyone goes left, right to left.
You know what I reckon happened when the six again rule come in, the centres become really prevalent because there's so much fast footy, momentum footy that you'll get an early boy out to your centres like years have passed.
Like centres are like Lambos, right?
But now they've caught up, right? The defensive lines are caught up. Their systems of everyone's got fitter. Everyone's got used to the six again rule, and then it's become a lot more controlled.
And the middles are so fit; they move so good around the middle. They come up and they just close everything. Chain defense. Like if you're a center, you used to come off, just say, come back towards the ruck. There could be gaps everywhere, right? Good luck.
Not anymore.
There is no gaps at all. So unless you're hitting a really nice line, outside in, inside out, can flick, can have all these skills, or just bull rush someone, you're not. What are you doing?
Mm.
You're pretty much just making your tackles, right?
Mm. Yeah, you've got to be a lock in defense.
Yeah.
You have to be a lock in defense. And like you've got to have a nice variety of being able to punch a nice hole. These are the sorts of play. Who would I be looking at? If I was a center, I'll tell you what, like we talked about him before. If I could get him on a reasonable contract, I'd be looking at like sort of mid-range guys like Herbie Farnworth.
Yeah, I like Herbie Farnworth.
I love Herbie Farnworth. But I wouldn't want to be going top tier. So like
– who's your top tier center?
Joseph Manu.
Yeah.
1 mil. Like as much as I love Joey, if I was –
because you know you can go – let's play fullback for a bit.
Well,
let's
if I was signing center. Joey Manu, I'd be signing him to fullback straight away. He wouldn't even be in my discussion for center.
Mm.
I wouldn't be paying him $750,800 to play centers.
It's weird how we think Latrell and Joey Manu are the best two centers in the game.
Well, they are.
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's weird, but we're not even putting Katoni Staggs, the Critter, Bradman Best, Zach Lomax.
Just next. They're all next, right?
Because I still think Latrell's the best left centre in the game.
For sure. I think if Latrell plays full-time centres, he's the best centre.
Yeah.
Actually, him and Joey would compete really hard.
Yeah, but Joey would start
right. What about the four from Grace from Juzzy Ollam at the moment? Like, he's not even – he's playing Sunshine Coast. So
hey, buddy. Was he not Dally M Centre of the Year last year?
I think he was. Or if he wasn't, he was the year before.
No. Well, that's a massive fall off. I'm not sure what's happening there.
And he's been replaced by Scope Tonomapia. He looks like me, young Donovan Peoples.
Easily, yeah. He's
solid, looks like
man.
A nuggety version
he's
of me.
He's got the mo.
Yeah.
Like a big, big Sizzlack, thick.
Yeah, heavy Sizzlack. So just to wrap it up, congrats to Payne Haas.
Yeah.
Great deal. Great deal for the Broncos. For me, right now, I like Broncos to win the comp. This is the last this is the one thing because I didn't think this was going to get done.
Mm.
I thought this was going to get done after the season and it was going to be a wait and see for Payne. Yeah. Now that he's committed, I think you can get – let me have a look right now. I'm going to go on the futures on the tab with our friends, our partners at the tab. What are the futures for the rugby league? Let's get it up. Competitions.
What, to win the comp?
To win the comp.
What, $3 or $2?
$3.50.
Oh, no. $3.50, get on it.
To make the grand final, $1.75. That's a good bet too. Mm.
So it's a two-horse race in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the Penrith at $2.20, Brisbane at $3.50, Melbourne at $7, the Waz at $12, Souths at $13, Cronulla at $26, Cowboys are blown out at $26. That's going to be a massive game this week, which we'll get to. But, yeah, $3.50.
That's good.
Give me a little bit of that, I think. Give me a little bit of that. I'll tell you who hasn't re-signed or done. Tevita Pangai retires, Mace, mid-contract to enter boxing. So your boy Tevita Pangai Jr. has dropped a bombshell on the Dogs, quitting mid-contract to pursue a boxing career. Pangai Jr. is tipped to retire at the Bulldogs after the clash against the Gold Coast Titans in round 27. He has a 2-0 record in boxing, recording a TKO victory over Jericho Sicil in his debut in 2021, followed by a knockout of Jerry Tupai last December on the undercard, which you're at, Mace, for the Sonny Bill Williams, Mark Hunt bout. Pangai Jr. has a close relationship with ex-Bulldog Sonny Bill. So, Mace, a couple of things. Did you have an inkling that this was on the cards? And what's your thoughts for not only the Bulldogs, but for Tevita moving forward?
Yeah, first of all, like, well done, Tevita. And he could have been very selfish and stayed at the Bulldogs, right? Got his money next year, still done a little bit of boxing here and there.
Yep.
But he's made a very brave decision to give up all that money and to go and step into the ring. Like, that's not an easy decision to make, right? Mm. He's got guaranteed money next year. He's got to go out and put his balls on the line and fight. Literally fight. You don't have any more teammates. You've picked the hardest sport in the world. So respect to that, right? So people don't understand. He's not taking all his money next year. He's leaving his contract. Like, whatever's left is on the cap next year. He's done that. And he's gonna do boxing. Like, he's just being really honest with himself. He knows there's a big world out there. He wants to test himself as a boxer, and he can fucking fight.
He's a decent boxer, right?
He's very decent, and I think he can go places in boxing. And I think he just wants to go all in. And if it's for 2 or 3 years and he comes back and he's 30 – you know what I mean? Like, I want a Tevita who's all in. I don't want one foot in, one foot out. And that's what he's been mentally for the last probably since after Origin.
Do you reckon Origin's had an effect on this?
Well, I think it's had an effect because he's gone, you know what? Origin was probably a goal for him, right? Mm. And then not to play in game 2 and 3, he's like, nah, you know? Boxing probably would have become more prevalent in his head, going, maybe I should just try and do boxing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I know he was thinking of this. I have conversations
with him.
It's always
like a bit of a scratch.
Yeah.
He's wanted to scratch.
Yeah. And I know for a fact, even if he did finish next year, he would have not played on. He would have definitely gone to boxing.
Yeah, okay.
So I think maybe playing Origin, reaching the pinnacle of the game, going, all right, well, I've done that.
Yep.
That's all right. Tick that box. You know, like, you can't, but you got to be real. This is probably real honest, you know, talk that he's had with himself, man. This is a ballsy thing to do, right? You're just giving up whatever you're on next year and then to go and fight. You know what I mean? Like, you're not guaranteed a world title fight. He's got to start from the bottom and he's got to work and grind and train his ass off and this and that. It's a fucking hard thing to do.
Has he been training with Sonny in the past? Or Mundine camp?
Yeah, I'm not sure what camp he's in. I think he was doing a lot of work with Sonny Bill.
Yep.
You know, and he doesn't want to be one of those players. Like, Sonny had his time over again. I'm not sure what he'd do. He'd probably go straight into boxing. He'd probably retire fully and go into boxing.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, and he could have been, who knows what he could have been.
Because what people don't understand, obviously he's working away from a lot of money. You can make a lot of money, man, in boxing.
The world is big. Yeah. People, as I told T, I said, look, a lot of people just get fixated on rugby league and they just think it's all rugby league their whole life and they have no other thought process. I said, it's good that you're actually thinking like this and you're not thinking selfishly and just play rugby league and do boxing here and there. Like, go all in. and see what happens.
27 years old, about to turn 28 at the end of the year, 137 first grade games, got his origin, played for Tonga. He's ticked a lot of boxes. So there's still, like you said, there's still a world in which he returns to rugby league if the next couple of years don't pan out exactly how expected. Or
just wants to go all in, you know, like not be having it. You know how hard it is to be a full-time footballer and then try and be a fucking part-time boxer on the side?
Mm.
You know, so I wish him nothing but good luck. He's a good kid. Good friend of mine, and I hope he gets a fucking world title or something. Just reaches his potential. And if not, he comes back. There's always going to be a home for him at the Bulldogs.
I tell you what, there's a lot of people they're going to want to pay a lot of money to see him fight. I'll tell you when he fights.
Bro, the kid can fight.
Yeah,
he's a fucking younger brother, Jermaine. He's fucking even better.
He's a dog as well?
Yeah.
Nice. The RL Commission has locked in a new Pacific Championships competition involving six teams. Mace, the Pacific Championship will be staged in 2023 and 2024 after the NRL and NRLW Premiership seasons and will include men's and women's teams from Australia, New Zealand, Samoa, Tonga, Papua New Guinea, Fiji and Cook Islands. So that's seven teams for the women, six teams for the men because Tonga are playing a tri-series against England. So they're not a part of this in the men's side of it. The 2023 championships will include two games, two match days in Australia, two match days in New Zealand and four in Papua New Guinea. So there's been a lot of chat around. We talked about the 18th man just before the 18th team. Potentially for the NRL, Papua New Guinea. That's I'll tell you what, there's a lot of momentum behind Papua New Guinea at the moment.
It's a couple of years ago, man. Like, I think they could easily get a team in New Guinea. It's the most popular sport in New Guinea, right?
Yeah.
So just thinking, if you did base it in New Guinea, you got eight home games, right? You play four in New Guinea, you play four in Brisbane, and you're based in Brisbane, right? You don't have to live in New Guinea because that's going to be the problem with players that are from Australia or New Zealand. You don't want to live in New Guinea. You know, they could be based in Rockhampton. They could be based in Bundaberg or something like that. Play eight games, save your home games, eight away games obviously, and then like eight or nine.
Pros and cons, the off-season players, burnout, a lot of footy, the game's a lot faster.
Mm.
Are we not worried about the effects that this has on our top-tier players? So if you look at – I'll give you a couple of examples, right? The Tommy Trbojevic's of the world he didn't play for Australia last year, but struggled to stay fit. Kalen Ponga, again, another guy who missed out on the back end of the season playing rep footy, but they've played a lot of rep footy, whether it be State of Origin or played for their country before. Do you envision a problem? How would the clubs be feeling about?
I don't think I can just only go back to when I was playing Four Nations and all that kind of stuff for like 8 years.
Yep.
And there was nothing better than playing for Australia at the end of the year.
How good?
You know what I mean? You're just sitting there. You're like, fuck! I can't wait to get back in the Australian team. And you're on Kangaroo tours and you're in different parts of the country. You're in Australia, you're in New Zealand, you're in France, and all this kind of stuff. You build such a camaraderie there. And it just doesn't take – I think it saves careers because you're not doing full pre-seasons.
That's fair.
So you're not coming back till like mid-Jan. So these other players that have been training since November, you don't turn up till mid-Jan.
Yeah.
But we didn't turn – for about 5 years, I didn't turn up till fucking 18th of January.
How good.
Do you know what I mean? So it's the longevity. What do you think? Cameron Smith didn't do that for like 12, 13 years. True. Billy Slater, all the top tier players, because they're always on Kangaroo tours every year or a Four Nations, a World Cup and all that kind of stuff. So you love that. You don't want to be doing full pre-seasons. Trust me. They're fucking hard.
I did them every year.
They're awful, right? I think I played 17 years. I did eight pre-seasons. Full pre-seasons, you know what I mean? So I think I look at it the other way. I'm just like, that's more longevity. So the guys who are always in rep teams, if you're the cream of the crop, you don't train as hard. You're more playing, you're match fit, you're a seasoned vet, you're a pro. It's the guys that are the lower tiers who's not making that sort of the rep teams and stuff, they fucking grind harder.
Yeah.
They train harder.
So what about the Penriths of the world, the Cowboys of the world who, you know, sort of started slow for their, you know, the South Sydneys were very heavily involved with rep footy. They've sort of been struggled a little bit. Yeah. The Parramatta Eels, the top teams, they, you know.
I think everyone is just sort of going, because we weren't playing rep football for 3 years because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we play the World Cup and everyone sort of gets out of form and this and that. And everyone's like, oh my God, this is – oh, the clubs are going to hate it.
They're not conditioned for it.
Not conditioned. It's like, no, we just got to get back into what we were doing.
Okay,
through the 2000s and 2010s, there was always an Australian tour on at the end of the year. It's a pinnacle of the game. Like, you bust your ass all preseason, all through Origin, getting through the whole year, have a run into the semifinals, and then it's like, you either win it, you don't win it, you get to the semis, whatever, and then you're in the Australian team. That's the cream on top. Then you get to win a Four Nations. So some guys who never won a grand final get to win World Cups, Four Nations, Six Nations.
True.
That's the pinnacle of the game. That's what they get to do. It's either Origin or Test. Ask Heine. Right?
Yeah.
Heine never won a grand final, but he's won World Cups and he's won Four Nations and he's won Origins.
Won a shitload of tests.
You know, he's won a shitload of, he's won a heap of things, and they just hang that on him because they just take the piss, which is sad, but it is what it is. But he's won a hell of a lot.
Mm.
And those memories are embedded in your head, like the kangaroo tours that I was on, the New South Wales teams that I've been in. It's fucking funnest shit of all time.
Mm.
It is so fun. So you can't take that away from the kids, and they're going to be like, fuck that. I want to play. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter, especially playing for Australia and New Zealand, the top nations. They're the ones that you want to play for.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It was a big part, I guess, what was going on with the CBA.
We're saying this a year ago, right? We're saying like they need a Six Nations somewhere because
– Yeah.
You know, like, you know how they obviously do it in the middle of the year in Europe.
I would have liked Tonga and England to be involved in it. I would have liked to have a top eight. So England and Tonga had already organised their one. So the RL Commission has locked this in with all the Pacific nations. So obviously the RL has been in contact with the New Zealand Rugby League, with Samoan Rugby League, Cook Islands. What are the other ones? Fiji and Papua New Guinea, the Kumuls.
Mm.
But Tonga and
That sucks.
Tonga and England have been locked in for a while now.
Okay.
That'll be this year, then next year.
It could be totally different. So as long as they're still growing the international football and it's a main part of the calendar, it needs to get back into that.
That series, Tonga versus England,
would be a good
series too. Yeah,
it'll be mad.
Be really competitive. Tell you who won't be competitive or doesn't feel like they're going to be competitive is the Tigers, as they have abandoned their five-year plan inside 12 months. Tigers coach Tim Sheens is reportedly set to stand aside at the end of the season and hand the reins to Benji Marshall 12 months earlier. And even that doesn't feel like a lock at the moment, Mace. Yeah. Sheens was meant to coach the Tigers for 2023, which is this year, and next year, 2024, before Benji took over. But he's moving on. I think it's a board decision. I
wonder what that conversation was like.
Fuck. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in what's happening with the Tigers at the
moment. Like that dude, was he dressed like that? Was a hat and stuff?
Dallas again.
Imagine if the CEO and the board members like talking to Tim Sheens, one of the most respected people in the world.
Yeah.
And you go to him like, nah, man, you're done.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one.
How handled that, man? I'm not sure.
Sheensy's been around.
Sheensy has been around, but like you know, you got to pay him out. He ain't walking.
Oh yeah, true.
You got to pay. I'm not sure what money he's on, but I think it's a fair bit.
Yeah, he'd be on good
for 2 or 3 years, and he's just like, yeah, thank you. I don't want part of this shit show anyway.
Well, he was going to be coach, and then he was also like, what was his role last year in like determining like how the club was going to be run? Benji. Does Benji make it to next year? How do you think Benji's feeling at the moment? Because there are so many mixed reports with Tim Sheens and Benji about the relationship breakdown that they had after Benji left. Seems to be got better, obviously, because he returns to the Tigers, even though it wasn't under Tim Sheens. He returns to the Tigers. There seems to be love around there, but you know the Scott Fulton stuff that has come from above as well. Yourself, the Bulldogs, the Dragons are struggling as well to get some continuity around the club, consistency around the club. But with the appointment of Shane Flanagan, who's a pretty switched on, firm leader, and then you got obviously Gus running things at the Bulldogs.
I think at the Bulldogs it's totally different, right? We're not doing the business on the field, right? Everything else is tip top. The coaching from GMs to sponsors to the actual club being run is fucking first class. But what do we get judged on?
Results,
result driven game. But we ain't fucking with our club like this. You know, like you ain't sacking Gus. You know what I mean? Like you're not sacking Ciro after 1 year and putting a kid in like Benji, like he's but it's a sink or swim sort of moment, isn't it? I don't think Benji's going to be scared of this.
Nah. He'd love the challenge. There's a part of me that thinks he'd love the challenge. I don't even know Benji that well.
He just needs to surround himself with some good assistant coaches.
Well, apparently Chris Lawrence and Robbie Farah are done as well.
You know, the people that he trusts, You know what I mean? He's been to war with these guys. He trusts them.
But they're moved on as well.
Oh,
mate.
Shit. I thought you said they're done with him.
No, they're done. Fuck. They've moved on, I believe.
Moved on, yeah, sacked?
I think
Lukey, find that out, please.
Yeah.
Lukey, holy shit. Okay, well, I thought he said you.
I think moved on in their own accord. Like, it just seems to be a shit.
Okay, well, this is probably more important right now. Mm. So Benji probably feels a little bit isolated. He's got no one there. He probably thought he's going to go be the head coach, have Robbie Farah and Lawrence as his assistants. Now he needs to source some good assistants, right?
Yes. That's crucial.
That is his number one thing. And S&C, high performance,
here we go.
Everything Lukey, like that.
Update?
The only hope I can see on Farah is that he's interested in the vacant GM role.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, there you go. So apparently Robbie wants to become the GM. So then that would be interesting.
The dude with the hat. Is that his GM?
No, he's the CEO. Oh. I think he's the board member.
He's the chairman.
Chairman.
The chairman.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so Benji, I don't think he's scared of this. He just needs to surround himself with fucking great people, smart brain, smart minds, and no snakes, right? And I think he'll do that. Good S&C, so that you can trust. And it's hard to come across those guys.
They are, yeah.
It's very hard. It's hard to come across a good assistant coach.
Yeah,
good coaches. So it's a bit of a job for him, and I hope that he has a chance to select him himself. They don't just come over the top and go, "Here's your assistant coaches," because you know, the board likes him.
Here we go. Got a bit of an update here. Benji Marshall will take charge of West Tigers in 2024. Yeah, we'll assume the club mutually agreed. Marshall was originally expected to take over in 2025. Yeah, it came back with, yeah. Oh, no, it's all pretty much the same stuff, just a recycled article.
I think he'd be all right, Benji.
Yeah,
he'll be smart. Great. I think this year will teach him a lot. You know, he's pretty much been the coach. He's in all the meetings. He's done, you know, every single session. So I don't think anything's going to be over his head next year. It's probably going to be the toughest year of his career. Mm. I think the Tigers will be trending
up. Make or break.
Yeah, Tigers will be trending up.
Yeah, I agree.
It was that article from the Mole that said they're not thinking about Benji either.
It was the article in the Mole, Lukey, saying?
I put in the group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's what it was. Yeah, they're thinking about punting Benji. Well, that'd be crazy. Yeah, imagine that 1 year in. I actually think the Tigers are showing better signs than what the Bulldogs and the Dragons are throwing.
They're fighting.
They've got a lot of fight in the last 3 or 4 weeks. On the field, I'm talking
unless
about.
Unless this Fulton dude has got so much power at that club, he's just trying to fucking wide end everyone and he's got everyone out.
Strong last name. Very strong last
name. Very, very strong last name.
You want to preview the games now, mate?
Yeah, mate.
We'll see how that unfolds over the next couple of days. By the time
it'd be interesting, man. Surely they can't fuck with Benji like that.
Surely not.
Ooh, but hey.
He's a favourite son, man. It'll be fucking chaos if that happens. All right, you ready to preview the games? All first right. game kicking off, North Queensland versus Cronulla, mate. Our friends at the Tab. This is going to be played up at Queensland Country Bank Stadium tomorrow night, which will be tonight if you're watching this on Thursday night. The North Queensland Cowboys are $1.58 favourites. Cronulla Sharks are $2.40 underdogs, mate. Some big ins for the Cowboys with Jeremiah Nanai returning.
Oh, shit.
Colin
great.
Hess goes back to the bench, and Jermaine Tanoa Brown goes to 18th man. Cole Felt is named on the wing with Maroons winger Murray Talangi into the centres, which he played before they had the bye. They've also got Griffin Neame back on the bench as well. I think I might have returned as well before the bye. They're back to a very formidable lineup, all but Valentine Holmes. This is probably their best lineup, Mace. And they're going to need it because they're playing a red-hot Sharks team. Tom Hazleton returns from the concussion that he missed with Lukey. You got breaking news or you just sitting up? Yeah, what do you got? Breaking news? Is that the same thing? Is that what I just read out? Yeah, so a false alarm. Tom Hazleton returns to the bench. Therefore, Jesse Colquhoun goes back to the extended squad.
All right.
Tough game to pick, Mace, this one.
Hard, man. But with Nanai and those blokes coming back, I think the Cowboys have got so much to play for. They've worked so hard to get out of where that shit start that they got out to.
Yep.
They fought back to get into a position to get to make a finals run. And this is it. This will be the game. So she's all in here.
Cowboys?
Cowboys, yep.
Cowboys cut the Lions -4.5 at the with our friends at the Tab. You think they cover the 4.5, win by more than a try?
Yes, for sure.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't think it'll be that tight. I reckon they can score a hell of a lot of points, man.
Yeah, yeah. I like this Cowboys team. I think they might be a little bit rusty. I like the Cowboys. I like them 1-12. Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. Give me the Cowboys 1-12 as well, Mace.
Jeez. Moving on. That's a hard one, man.
To the Warriors versus Manly. This one will be there for this game, Mace, at Daniel Anderson Stadium.
That's great.
In New Zealand, Friday, 6 p.m. The Warriors get Chance Nickel-Klogstad back, Mace. They are $1.25 favourites with our friends, our partners at the tab. Manly at $4, underdogs, the Lions 12.5. That's pretty juicy, Mace. For the Warriors, like I mentioned, Chance Nickel-Klogstad returns. Wade Egan is good to go. He had a throat injury after getting the elbow and throat from Stefano last week.
That's solid.
Bunny Afoa comes into the front row in place of Mitch Barnett, who needed stitches for a laceration below the knee following the Tigers game. So has he been put to the bench or all the way out? Oh, that's a big loss. Barnett's all the way out. As for Manly, they lose both Brad Parker and Ben Trbojevic after they did not finish the games with concussion last week. Therefore, Morgan Harper comes in the centres and Kel Mataulangi starts in the back row. Jake Arthur is the new name, new face on the bench. I think we're both going to be on the Warriors for this one, Mace. Can they keep it close to 12 points? No, 13 plus the Warriors?
13 plus for the Warriors. I just think old boys day.
Yep.
And the naming of Chris Anderson's stand.
Daniel.
Daniel Anderson's stand. And old boys day. Lot to play for. Plus it's like they got – Friday night? Blackout night.
Blackout night.
They barely lose that. So if they got a lot of passion there. I reckon they'll pump Manly really
bad. I'm so looking forward to this. Obviously,
and we're going to be there.
Both of us playing for Manly. We're going to be over there. We've got a golf episode with what'd you do? Did you speak, Lukey? Oh, the Patches.
Fucking hell.
Lukey wants us to get the Patches up as well. But Daniel Anderson gave me my first ever NRL jersey too, mate. So this is extra special for me. I'm stoked to be over there for this. It's old boys. We're going to catch up with a few of the old boys who would have been repping these sorts of colours. But these are our levels, Auckland. These are throwbacks. These are OG.
Good ones.
Patches. Get the Patches out. Hula hand up on your side as well. Hula hands. Bang. Just whacking it on there. Boom. If you want over the top as well. Geez, that looks good. Maybe we'll turn that into a hoodie as well, Lukey. But yeah, I think Warriors head-to-head, but I'm going to go my Bird Gang. I reckon Bird Gang are going to make it tricky enough to keep it within 12.5. So I'm going to go Manly plus 12.5.
I don't think
Warriors will blow them out.
Yeah, I'll retract that because it's going to be awful. Like the weather's going to be awful, be drizzly. It's not going to be a high-scoring game, I don't think.
Okay.
And the Warriors will really lock it down, I think.
All right, sweet. All right, moving on to the second game of Friday night. This is at CommBank Stadium. Parramatta at home, but they've got a few big outs. The Roosters get the dub last week against the Dolphins. Let's see what they can do. Jeez. We have Parramatta at $2.35 underdogs at home, Mace. Yeah. Sydney Roosters are $1.60. The line is 4.5. Obviously, the big one for Parramatta Eels, no Mitch Moses for not only this game but potentially the season. Therefore, Dylan Brown and Dejan Arce are in the halves. The return of Micah Sivo and Regan Campbell-Gillard couldn't have come at a better time. As for Andrew Davey, he's also set to miss this game under concussion protocols. RCG's return allows Joe Offengawa to move back to prop to cover for Davey. As for the Roosters, World Cup winner Angus Crichton makes his return from an injury. So Dylan Upper, just one game for me, goes back. And the man, Sam Walker, who returned for the New South Wales Cup last week. He is 18th man as he nears return. Probably a good chance that he plays if they've named him 18th. He also played 80 minutes in New South Wales Cup last week, like I alluded to. Mace.
Yes. What?
I think Roosters win, but do they cover? Do you think Roosters win or do you
see something? I think the Roosters win. I think the Roosters win. They've got a lot to play for. I think they're on a bit of a roll. And the Eels are just, I don't know. They're on the exact same points, right? So you'd think exactly the same sort of fight in this game. But I think the Roosters just got too much class.
I just think they're in better form
too. Yeah, they're playing better. Parramatta seemed a little bit down. Big Reg is back. He's been out for, 8 weeks?
Three.
Suspended. Oh, suspended. I was talking about his injury.
He was injured for eight weeks.
So he just got suspended. So he's not going to lose any sort of match fitness. So he'll be out there ripping and tearing.
Him and Sivo, same game.
Yeah.
Shoulder charge.
I like that. They're two big inclusions.
Yeah, big ins.
Big inclusions. But I think the Roosters, I'm going them.
Yeah,
1-12, be close game.
I'm on the Roosters 1-12 as well. I like that one, Mace. Moving on to Saturday, West Tigers versus the Dolphins again, CommBank, but it's the next day.
It's going to be a tough carry.
It is a yuck game. West Tigers are $1.40. The Dolphins are $3. The line is 8.5, Mace. With our friends, our partners,
Tigers are favourites.
Tigers are favourites, yeah, well and truly, yeah, Combank. Tim Sheens, well, he doesn't have the luxury of now. Oh, yeah, he does. Well, he's still there. He's naming the same 17 that played the Warriors last week. Dane Laurie was a shining light.
He's good.
Luke Brooks was also nice as well. As for the Dolphins, they've got a few outs and big ones too. Connolly Lemuelu and Kenny Bromwich and Hamiso Tabuai-Fido all missing this week. So that's why the market's so in favour of the Tigers, Mace.
Yeah.
Jack Bostock, Robert Jennings and Ewan Aiken slot into the side. Jeremy Marshall King is also sidelined. So pretty much their four or five best players are out. That's the reason for the Tigers being favourites. I think that off the back of that, I think the Tigers win and they win comfortably in this game.
You'd hope so.
I think Tigers can actually put a score on them.
They're not too bad. They've been, the last 3 weeks, their effort's been outstanding. It's just they've been playing some decent teams. They should pump the Dolphins.
They should.
But, you know, the Dolphins' culture that they've built is grit, right? And they're just next man up mentality. It's Wayne Bennett's mentality, and they'll play to that. They'll get beaten by the Tigers. I think they've got too much class.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to be a touch-up.
I think it will be.
Right.
I like Tigers 13+. All right, moving on to the second game, Saturday, 5:30 p.m. at Cbus Super Stadium, the Titans versus the Panthers. And as you would expect, Mace, the Gold Coast Titans are $9, Penrith are $1.06. The line is 22.5. Anyone who plays the Panthers get this sort of lineup or get that sort of line at the moment. Whoa. Because they're just on fire at the moment, mate. AJ Brimson is listed amongst the reserves after he was a late scratching last week. Ken O'Kinney, therefore, has been named a fullback with Jaden Campbell in at 5'8" for Kieran Foran. Thomas Weaver has been handed his NRL debut at halfback in place of Tanner Boyd. Prop Mo Fotuaika returns from suspension. Tino Fusumalawi then shifts to lock. Aaron Clark drops out. Cleese Haas has been promoted to start the game. Joe Stimson goes to the bench. Jacob Adlick is the new face on the bench. So a shitload of changes. And the last thing you want to be doing is having all these changes coming up against the best team of the competition. Yeah. The Panthers with Jerome Luai and Mitch Kenny returning and Tyrone Peachy, who comes back from suspension. He goes in the centres for Zach Hoskins. So, Mace, Penrith by how much?
Oh, at least 30.
At least 30?
Yeah. Spence Lienu named 20 at 22, right?
Ooh.
So he might be – I think if he's ready to roll, I'm putting him in just for match fitness, right?
Yep.
Zach Hoskins is unlucky. That's how good a side they are. Zach Hosking could be
well,
in any seven. I reckon he'd make most 17s. He'd be on the bench somewhere.
Mm.
I'm glad that they put in Tyrone Peachy back in there.
Yeah,
and you know, and you get a tongue. Yeah, I was worried about it, man.
He's your guy.
Yeah, because I thought he worked so hard to get into that team, and that silly mistake could have cost him the season.
Yep.
You know, but Tungo's still out. And then when
I wonder what's wrong with Isaac Tungo, like a hammy or something, like a soft tissue injury. He's been out for 3 or 4 games now.
Right. Yeah, I think they'll really start flexing now.
Yeah, I agree, mate.
They look good, man. They just – look at that team. You know, they just play such a fucking really good brand of football.
I think the Titans will compete in this game for long periods, but then just get proper blown out at the end.
By the end.
Yeah.
Because you know why? They're relentless.
Yeah.
You know what names you want to be called when you're going through like the start of the year and you're like, what do we want to be known? Relentless and ruthless.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Penrith are, and that's how they play. They just want to kick to you when they've had enough and beat the shit out of you. It's terrible. It's an awful way they suffocate you. Kicking game is awesome. It's great to watch. Well, as an ex-player, you're just like, wow, it's clinical.
One of the most ruthless and relentless teams of the last 20 years, the Melbourne Storm, played the Dragons at Wynn Stadium. Our friends, our partners, the Tab, have the home team $5.20 underdogs with Melbourne $1.16 favourites, obviously after the back of a really convincing win against the Raiders. The line for that game is 15.5, Mace. For the Dragons, a few ins. Zach Lomax returns from a shoulder injury. Frankie Mollo is back from concussion. Therefore, his brother Michael moves to lock and Ben Mutters Masilla goes to the bench. Toby Couchman, the twin of Ryan, he goes back to 18th man. As for the Storm, Craig Bellamy is named the same 17. They've got the job done. Will Warbrick has been named amongst the reserves. And there's a big name in the reserves as well. There, I believe. No, he's not.
Pappenhausen's not
there. No, I thought he was in there. So what do they say here? Star fullback Ryan Pappenhausen is set for more game in Queensland cap.
Right on.
Okay. So I reckon he's got one
Reem
more.
Reem Smith, that's big.
Yeah, Remus Smith played on the wing last week. I dare say that Remus Smith will go to the centres. Warwick will come back on the wing.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good looking lineup, man.
I don't mind.
Ali Katoa back in the back row. Nelson coming off the bench. He's a problem. Harry goes back to starting.
I think
Storm and Storm by how much, Mace?
I think it'd be 1-12. I think St George go all right at Wynn Stadium.
I don't mind that.
I reckon it'd be all right. It'd be pretty close. I think they'll get they've been having a crack lately, St George.
They play
tough, and like Melbourne play tough as well, so they'll even each other out. It'll just be the class of like a Hughes and Munster coach jumping over someone, you know what I mean? Like they just got that much talent. Their forwards are going to be matched.
He's on Ravaloa's side.
Yeah, so he'd be trying to sit on his back.
Yeah. There's going to be some tries on that side either way. Whatever side of the field that there is, there's going to be some tries on that side. Going on to Sunday, Mace, Knights versus Rabbitohs. The Knights host the Rabbitohs at McDonald James Stadium. This is going to be a fucking cracker. Newcastle, $2.15 underdogs with South, $1.70. The line is 2.5. Big news, Jackson Hastings is good to go, Mace.
I'm glad that he's back, yeah. Presto got 2 weeks.
Did he?
Sucks, but
he
at least he gets to play the last game.
Okay. Star centre Bradman Best also returns from his adducting injury, so Nari Tuala goes to the reserves. As for the Rabbitohs, just one change in the 17, which beat the Dragons. Michael Cheekham will replace Ben Lovett on the bench. Dry Arrow is named to start in the pack as he continues to try and play through back spasms. Jed Cartwright was a late withdrawal last week. Hamaselli and Tevita Totola are listed amongst the reserves, so that's I thought
Totola was out.
I thought Totola was done for the season.
Shit. All right.
That's huge. That's massive.
Depends what Totola comes back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if he's played the whole year and he's been playing like big minutes, he's a problem. He's been in and out.
Him and Hamasala are big ins if they end up playing. Big ins.
Yeah.
It's
the quality minutes what you want from your forwards. You need like the middles for South to be dominant, right? We were talking about this the other day. Like, look, Penrith, their front row, their middle four, you know what I mean? They're dominant. Same as Brisbane. Now I'm looking at like, you know, like with South's forward pack, they're tough and everything like that, but they're just not as big and physical as like a Brisbane and Penrith. They can't fuck with them. Their back line's awesome and everything like that. But you got to have like Tom Burgess, Totola playing outstanding football, Jai Arrow, Cam Murray, Kalon Mutungi.
They can't afford to have injuries, can they?
Yeah, they can't. And they need to be
Penrith can. Outside of Payne and Carrigan.
Yeah. You know, so if you take two out of the South pack, they really come back down.
What do you reckon if you took Fisher Harris out of Penrith, could they still win the comp?
Yeah.
Spencer Lenu goes to the front row?
Yeah, Spencer starts with Moses. And
actually, they'd probably play Eisenhuth or Lindsay Smith.
Yeah.
And then leave Spencer on the bench for that impact, wouldn't they? Yeah. It'd still be a big loss.
Yeah, it'd be a massive loss, but they'll handle it. Yeah. They could handle it.
I agree.
This would be interesting. This could be South's season on the line right now.
I think it is.
And Newcastle aren't a lock for the eight either, right?
No.
You know, so like they everything in, they'll pack, they'll sell out McDonald's stadium. Like last week was crazy. On the Sunday arvo, like this is built for a fucking great game.
You're going Newcastle, aren't you?
I'm going Newcastle. Yeah,
I'm on South.
Yeah,
I think South are on a run.
They're on a 6 in a row. It's good.
They're the opposites. I think South are more talented than Newcastle, but Newcastle are playing way more consistent than what South are. So it's one of the trickiest games to pick. Proper coin flip. $2.15, $1.70 at the tab indicates exactly that. As for the last game, Bulldogs, your team finish it off again, Mace, against Canberra, down at Canberra at GIO Stadium. The line is, sorry, mate, just getting it up here, 9.5. The Canberra Raiders are $1.36 favourites, where your Bulldogs are $3.20, Mace. Favourite son, Jared Croker, returns in place of Ethan Strange, the rookie from last week. Yep. James Schiller will also play his third game of the season, joining the bench along with Tom Starling. As for your Bulldogs, Jake Preston has indeed been suspended for 2 matches. Therefore, Corey Waddell will take his spot, while Ryan Sutton returns from a neck injury at lock, and Luke Thompson goes to the bench. Raymond Fotella Marino is the new man on the bench, with Harrison Edwards dropping to 18th man. You're obviously coming off a big loss yourself, but playing this Canberra team, they're going to get a rev up from stick.
They've got a lot more to play for than us. We're playing for pride. They're playing for a top 8 spot, which is massive. They just got pumped by Melbourne, which is embarrassing to that club. Ricky Stewart would be pissed off all week. They would have had some hard heart-to-heart talks. And, you know, we've had you know, we just need to get down there and just play to our potential. Like, I just don't really know what to say. Like, we've got to end the year on a positive. You know, like, there's nothing, they've had a good week of training, but they always have a good week of training. So it'll be interesting to get down there because, you know, Canberra in fucking August.
That's as hard as awful. That's like, as hard as it gets. It but sucks. Sunday Arvo's but nice.
Mentally, you got to have a siege mentality. Whenever you play fucking Canberra, I don't care when it is or whatever. Just say if it's in winter, even if it's the Sunday Arvo, it's going to get into night, it's going to be dewy, it's going to suck. So get your fucking mind right, go down there, siege mentality, fucking bust it down, bang, hit them, get them back home.
Fuck, nothing.
Same day, siege mentality. It's exactly how we used to hit Canberra all the time. We used to have one of the best records against Canberra. Go down there, siege mentality, boom, not even stay the night.
Yeah, there's nothing better than getting a bus trip home from Canberra with a win.
Yep.
Because it's a fucking tough place to win.
Straight, or it's just all, even if you stayed one night, if it was that thing, and then you're straight, if you get the win, straight on the bus, fucking go home.
Do you remember 15 when we were at Manly and we had a little bit of a run at the back end of the year and we got down there on a Sunday or Sunday arvo, had a little ice bath
straight away, beer straight in the ice bath, bang, on the bus, done.
Bang. That's as good as it gets. You get on the piss for 3 hours on the way home.
Hey, it's best.
All right, let's get into it. The Grateful Weight kicking it off this week. We got the North Queensland Cowboys against the Cronulla Sharks. This is going to be a proper dogfight. So in a dogfight, I'm one of the mangiest dogs of all. Tommy Dearden, $3.25. Anytime try score, I think tries are going to be hard to come by. I think both these teams are going to want to defend their cunts out. So give me Tommy Dearden.
I reckon Tom Dearden would be a red cattle dog if he was one.
If he was a dog. That's the perfect fucking comp for Tommy Dearden for sure. As for Warriors versus Manly, I think the weakest side for Manly is the left edge. The strongest side for the Warriors is the right edge. So give me Rocco Berry on that little reverse block shape. Yeah, so he runs the lead for the back row out the back and they mix and they play that nice double shape.
Nice and short.
Off a nice little Shawnee Johnson pass with Chance Nickel Clockstack out the back. Look out for Rocco Berry for some anytime jam at 250. As for Parramatta versus Sydney Roosters, he loves playing Parramatta. I'm talking about Mauso Joseph Okuso Suoli'i. He's $2. He always scores a couple against Parramatta.
He's been doing good, man.
He has. And to tell you who else has been doing good, Dane Laurie for the West Tigers against the Dolphins. $3 is a good price for him. He did everything but score last week. So I like Dane Laurie to cross for one himself this week against the Dolphins at home at Combank. For Penrith versus Gold Coast, you're just trying to find some value for Penrith. I think there's going to be a shitload of try scorers. You give me Dylan Edwards at 225 and I'm going to take that. Same thing for St. George Illawarra versus Melbourne. I think they're going to pump him through the middle. He had a good rest last week. Off the bench, he's going to be starting this week. Harry Grant at $3.10. Love that price. As for Newcastle versus Souths, give me Trell Mitt. If there's a time, it's almost been this season you're waiting for a proper Trell Mitt performance against a team that needs.
This is the moment.
This is the moment. I think he steps up and I think he really coming up against Kalen Ponga, a must-win game. I think he really gets
himself into this game. He's got to take it personal, man. He needs to take it personal.
$2.60 for Latrell Mitt. And the last game, Canberra versus Bulldogs. You give me a price of $2.60 about the little pocket rocket, Matty Timocol.
Timocol, I knew you going him.
I love him, man. So Timocol, $2.60, I think is good value. As for the LPC multi for this week, I mentioned him before, Mauso Joseph Okuso Suoli'i to score in the first 60 minutes against the Eels. And like I said, I really like the Rabbitohs bouncing back with a statement game at Newcastle at McDonald's Stadium. 1-12, which equals – the trader's got a specific price of $9 with a max bet of $25 for that one. So nice little price. Joseph Suoli'i in the first 60 minutes, Rabbitohs 1-12, $9, max bet of 25. Man. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during the footy season, so please keep front of mind. What are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You can find all our current LPC bets under the Best Friends banner on the Tab app. Thank you for joining us on the preview. We'll see you. We've got a vlog coming for our time over in New Zealand. Yes. Looking forward to seeing everyone in New Zealand. Up the Waz.
Go the Warriors.